May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I grew up in a town called Middlesbrough in the northeastern part of England. And in England, the educational system is very different to that here in the United States. In England, you go to elementary school till you are 11. And then when you are 11, you go to high school. And then when you're 16, you graduate from high school and then go on to some further education if you wish to. So when I was 11, I went to high school. It's called Langbar. And my first year, it was an all-boys school. So it was very, very disciplined. The second year of high school, they made it all co-ed. And education for the boys just seemed to go downhill from that point on. But that's another story. But there was no boys' school for the very first year. And it was very disciplined. We called the principal the boss. And the vice principal was a fella who was about 5 feet 2 inches high. He also was about 5 feet 2 inches across his shoulders. And he was all muscle. His name was Mr. Quinn. But we nicknamed him Bula. Because Bula didn't walk. Bula strutted. Now, Bula used to carry a piece of an oak branch that was about 15 inches long and about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. And it was varnished. And he would carry that stick up the sleeve of his jacket and support it with his middle finger. So not only did Bula strut, but his right arm, as it swung, gave you this glimpse of his cane. Now, whenever the bell used to ring for class, we had to stand outside the classroom and not speak a word till the teacher came, led us into the class, we sat down, and we would speak when the teacher spoke. We had about 24 boys in our class. So when we lined up outside the class, there were two rows of 12 boys. The way the building was built, every so often down the corridor, there would be a metal beam that protruded from the wall about 15 inches. And the metal beam was about 2 inches thick with a rounded edge, so nobody got hurt. One day we were lined up outside our English class. 12 boys on the inside, 12 boys on the outside. And right by the door of the English class were one of these 15-inch beams sticking out the wall. We had a kid in our class called Kenneth Franks, and we nicknamed him Frankie. Frankie was one of these real smart kids. He wore the big glasses, and he was the only kid in our high school that brought his stuff in a briefcase. Frankie was always at the front of the line. So we lined up in English for English class outside the door by the beam, and Frankie was at the front, and somebody on the inside line pushed because Frankie ended up getting smushed against the beam, and his glasses kind of went all wonky. He wasn't hurt, but he started to cry. And it's just at that point that Bula is strutting past our class. And he asks Frankie, Kenneth Franks, why are you crying? And Frankie said, somebody pushed me. So Bula goes to the second guy in the line and says, did you push him? No, sir. Third guy, did you push him? No, sir. Right along the line, asking the kids, who pushed? And everybody said, no. And then he gets to the 12th boy in the line. Sutherland, did you push him? I said, no, I did not push him, sir. So Bula then gets all these 11 boys behind Frankie and marches them off to his classroom. Well, his classroom, okay, is the high school senior boys, 16 and 17 years old. And he lines us up in front of all of these 16 and 17 year olds and asks us once again down the line, did you push him? No, sir. Did you push him? No, sir. Got to me, did you push him? No, sir, I didn't. Buller then gave his command, hands out. And the hands came out, and the stick was dropped, and he went down the line and caned every single one of us. To this day, I do not know who pushed Frankie that smushed him against the beam. But to this day, though, I think that whoever did push Frankie and smushed him against the beam was scared to death of Mr. Quinn, Buller. Because to this day, I believe that possibly 10 hands could have been spared the cane if one person had had the courage to tell the truth. That picture of Mr. Quinn, Buller, is a picture that many people have of our God. A God who wanders around looking for people who are doing naughty things so that he can punish them. We have come so far from the truth with that picture. Jesus showed us a God who is so different to that picture that people have of Mr. Quinn being like God. Jesus showed us a God, told us of a God, who is ready to show mercy, not to punish. God, who is so ready to give his children a second chance, new start in life, instead of burdening us with guilt and fear. You know, Jesus showed us this God of love. But he also told us that what God asks of his children is for his children to be truthful to him. To be truthful to him. You know, every time we gather for worship, we start off with a prayer that says, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hidden. No secrets. We acknowledge that God knows all the secrets of our hearts, so why do we spend all of this time scared to death to admit the truth about ourselves and tell the truth to Christ and to God? You know, we're not new in this. There are many gospel stories where this is quite evident. You know, the woman at the well of Samaria, she's trying to avoid that issue of her marital relations like the plague. And Jesus says, look, lady, I know you've had 5 husbands. And I know that the guy you're with now, you're living with him. I'm sure that Jesus would have preferred the woman, instead of her trying to skirt around the issue, be honest with him, saying, this is how it is. This is how it was. This is what I did. You know, the woman who touched his garment in secret, thinking he wouldn't know, and the power's gone from him. And Jesus says, who touched me? And it's his disciples says, she did. You know, I'm sure Jesus would have preferred for the woman to come and say, I've got a need. People were scared of him. And people are still scared. to come to Christ and to come to God with the truth about themselves, about what they've done, what they've said. Why is that? I think it's maybe because we think, if God really knows everything about me, God might not like me anymore. God knows everything about me, God might love me less. And there are folks here today who've been taught, that God will punish us, or God will abandon us, or God will tell us to go away because he wants us no more. And there are folks who have been told and been taught that they are unworthy of his love. That is such a sad picture. Because it's a picture that has no truth. And the more that that picture is taught, the more that that God is taught and portrayed, the more fearful the children of God are going to become. All Jesus ever asks of us is our honesty and our truth with God. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. The truth does set us free. When we take the truth about ourselves to Almighty God, who does not punish, who does not condemn, but who's ever ready with a mercy to forgive and forgive and forgive and set us free from our fears. You know, Mr. Quinn, Bowler, absolutely scared us kids to death. Mr. Quinn, Bowler, is not, as some would have it, a picture of God. God does not want us to fear him. God wants us to love him and be honest and truthful with him. Amen.